This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Governor Gretchen Whitmer is moving forward with her plan to use a $3.5 billion package of bonds as a first step in fixing Michigan's crumbling roads. During her State of the State address last month, Governor Whitmer acknowledged the impasse she'd reached with Republican legislative leaders on prior funding plans.
And so it's time for Plan B, executive action. Tomorrow, I will ask the State Transportation Commission to issue state road bonds so we can start fixing the roads now. My Rebuilding Michigan plan is financed without an increase at the gas pump. Since it doesn't require the legislature to act, we can get started right away.
Some critics of the governor have suggested bonds may or may not be the appropriate tool for long-term repair of Michigan's infrastructure. Since most of us still have a few gaps in our knowledge of how bonds work, we've invited Stephanie Leiser in. She's an expert in public finance and a lecturer at the U of M's Ford School of Public Policy. She is currently working with the Department of Treasury on local communities and their fiscal health. Professor Leiser, thanks for coming in to help us through this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's discuss Governor Whitmer's options. There are different kinds of municipal bonds, aren't there?
Yep. The ones we're looking at in this proposal are called revenue bonds, which means that they are going to be financed and backed with a pledge of constitutionally protected revenue sources, the gas tax, registration fees. So they have a specific revenue source associated with them.
So you have to start with this pool of money to guarantee the bonds and then invite investors to invest in the bonds, which then becomes the money that you use for whatever project you've chosen, right?
Right. So that's when investors come look at the bonds, they see that this is the source that they will be repaid from.
Who invests in such things?
Oh, all kinds of people. I think municipal bonds are generally held by households, pension funds, mutual funds. So it's a pretty broad variety of investors.
They draw a diverse class of people wanting to buy in.
Yes.
And would you say that they're generally attractive as being pretty stable?
Yeah, bonds in general, and municipal bonds in particular, are viewed as a pretty safe investment. So, when people are looking to diversify their portfolio, this would be kind of the counterbalance to maybe some stocks or more risky investments.
Right. What are some projects that Michigan has issued bonds for in recent history?
Michigan issues bonds all the time for lots of different things, roads being one, any kind of capital project. So the schools will issue bonds at the local level. Universities will issue bonds, for building projects, all kinds of different infrastructure projects. So it's a very common financing tool.
Why are they favored for things like big capital projects and used less frequently for needs that have ongoing costs associated with them?
Well, when you're thinking about how to finance something, you can either finance it out of your current resources, in which case those would just be, your projects would essentially be expenses, or you could finance it using bonds. And the reason to use bonds is to think about projects that have long-term costs and benefits. So you're, by stretching the repayment period out over time, you're sort of matching up the cost side of things with the benefit side of things. So something like roads or buildings, they have a long life. And so you can match up the cost and benefits over time.
Is there much of a record either in former Governor Rick Snyder's administration or former Governor Jennifer Granholm's administration in using them for something other than a capital project?
In generally speaking, states are not allowed to bond for other than capital projects. Most states have what are called balanced budget requirements, which means your annual budget has to be, revenues and expenses have to be balanced. So at the state and local level, bonding is really more just for capital projects. At the federal level, of course, they issue treasury bonds to cover annual deficits.
Right. The amount that Governor Whitmer is proposing to bond for, $3.5 billion, that's like something approaching one-third of the state's general fund. Does that represent any kind of new precedent?
It's definitely the largest road bonding project that the state would have done before, but the state has had a long history of doing bonds for road projects. So this would definitely be a larger in the scale, but not without, I mean, the process of doing it is the same.
Can you explain sort of how the, it's not as if there's a federal agency that comes to states and says, you're bonding too much, you can't do this anymore. What part of the system represents a check on the state's bonding possibilities?
Yeah, so the state statute governs how much debt can be taken on. And the way they do that is through how much of the funds that come in can be used for debt service. So the current statutory limit, I think, is 50%, but I think state policy actually lowers that to 25%. So they say we can't spend more than 25% of the revenues coming in on debt service for debts that we have outstanding. Where we're at right now is that we are quite significantly below that limit. And I know that's one of the reasons the governor has mentioned it's a good time to do it is because we have that extra capacity to take on new debt.
I know we're pretty far into the weeds of what is usually the purview of the legislature's budget writing committees, but obviously this was a big move for the governor. Mm-hmm. How would you rate the relative level of risk that she's proposing at this point? I mean, would it be akin to taking out a line of equity on your home and then using it for something like tax payments?
No. Generally speaking, when you're taking out bonds like this, you want to use them for capital projects that are going to have value over time and give you a positive return on your investment once you've actually accounted for all the costs of building and the debt service and operating and maintenance. So this is a very very standard way of doing things. I don't want to misrepresent this as a particularly risky thing to do. And in fact, I would say it's, you know, on a much smaller scale than what she's proposed just last year with the new gas tax. So, you know, she kind of characterized last year's plan to increase the gas tax. That was plan A, and this is plan B. I think of it more as like this is a plan A light. You know, it's much smaller in scale and scope and dollar value. So
it's less money overall than the 45-cent a gallon increase on the gas tax would have raised.
Right. The gas tax increase would have raised, I think, about $2 billion plus a year, and that would be an annual revenue source. So you can use that on an ongoing basis for new projects each year. This is a one-time source of money. So you use it for the pool of projects that you have, you know, in the queue right now. And after that, you have to go back and you can either bond more at that point. You're back to square one in terms of how do we find an ongoing, sustainable revenue source for the road. So,
of course, the advantages for this path include the fact that the governor can do so without getting legislative approval. And you've mentioned the disadvantages, that it does kick the can down the road a bit. Yeah. Do you see any other possible disadvantages to going forward with this as the next step in road fix funding?
Well, I think you hit the really important point, which is it's a one-time thing. Right. And so a few years down the road, we're going to be exactly where we're at right now, which is talking about how are we going to fund these roads? And so $3.5 billion will get you part of the way. It'll accelerate projects that are already kind of in line to be done. But once we do those, you know, these are only state projects. It doesn't address anything about local roads and the money flowing through to locals. So, you know, yes, it's something she can do right now. She doesn't have to deal with the legislature. Interest rates are low. There's a lot of good reasons to do something, but I fear that this isn't, you know, it's not going to be enough. And so if people think that this is a substitute for what the governor proposed last year, I think everybody's going to be disappointed.
Stephanie Leiser with the University of Michigan's Ford School of Public Policy. Thanks very much for coming in and talking with us.
Thanks. I appreciate it.